Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Do you think we'll get any callers this morning, or is everyone just in the total Christmas frenzy today?
You never know. You know, 1 week we might get 3 or 4 callers, and then the next could be 10 or 12, and it's just one of those days, but it is Christmas, and I suspect people are going to be out last-minute shopping, baking, preparing for company, wrapping presents. I know my wife was up last night until 11:30 or 12 wrapping.
Yeah.
And so people will be busy, but there's always gardening questions.
Right. And I'd like to challenge our listeners. You know, in the new year, we always like to talk about planning for whatever your garden's going to be and how to buy seeds. And we always have great topics. But if they have a topic that they would like to talk about and they think we haven't covered in a while, I'd love to hear you from you on the text line. Let us know some of the topics that you would like to hear in January. All you need to do is text us at 57500. This morning, plant of the week, holly, which is appropriate for Christmas week. The question is, can we grow holly here in Utah?
There are certain species of holly that will grow here, and I wanted to talk about holly because of the holiday season, and you know, you hear it in, deck the halls with boughs of holly, and you know, there's several Christmas songs that mention holly, and it's always been curious to me why holly is a traditional Christmas plant.
So you did a deep dive, didn't you?
I did.
And why?
Well, there are a few reasons. The holly that we're singing about is actually, we refer to it as English holly. It's native to Europe, and it has the evergreen sharp, you know, not really needled leaves, but really sharp leaves.
They're sharp.
They are very sharp. They can draw blood. But then it also has the red berries. And during medieval Europe, holly developed not really a tradition, I guess a tradition, a Christian tradition, to where it was found that the evergreen leaves represented resurrection and living forever. The red berries represented the blood of Christ, and then the thorns on the needles represented the crown of thorns that he wore when he was crucified. And so it became a symbol of Christmas, and it is pretty. And so it's been used since, you know, medieval times for the symbology during Christmas times. Before then, though, it still represented being true to a cause. You know, and it represented, you know, being, I'm looking for the word, I can't slip my mind, words are, again, hard Saturday mornings, but being ever faithful and things. And so there's a lot of symbology in several different religious traditions surrounding, especially the English holly.
I was unaware of that symbolism and why we always sing about it.
Yeah, and that's why it's there. And so we use it now. And most of the holly that you see locally that are available, that's available for making wreaths and hanging and things, will come out of the Pacific Northwest. It's actually English holly here doesn't have any diseases or predators. And so in areas of the United States, it's actually become very invasive. But when you find it in stores and things available along with the pine boughs and things, it's usually coming out of Oregon and Washington.
Okay, my mother did have a holly bush, a couple of them in her yard. So what kind is that holly that she was growing, and how does it differ from the English holly?
Well, the species that we grow here are hybrids. And one of them, a part of the hybrid is English holly, because English holly is one of the few hollies that will tolerate slightly alkaline soil. Hmm. Most of the hollies, if you've ever been to the Southeast, especially Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, there are dozens and dozens of varieties of holly that love the humidity, the acidic soils, and just slightly warmer weather. But the blue hollies are a hybrid between English holly and an American species that has some tolerance for alkaline soil plus some cold hardiness built in. And so they'll be hardy down to 0 to 10 below 0. And they are evergreen. And the reason they are called blue hollies is that many of the cultivars or the hybrids have kind of a bluish green tint to the leaves.
I'm looking at the blue holly that you have put in our article for the Greenhouse Facebook page. And you're right. The leaves are very green. There's not a blue tinge to these. My mom's didn't have a blue tinge either.
No, and not all of these do. And your mom's might have been straight English holly. It is. The English holly is sometimes grown here, and you can find it. But it's not quite as hardy, and so it has to go into a protected area in your yard. So up on the east or north side of a home.
Right next to the porch.
Yes, and it does better on the bench areas than it does down in the valleys. And so if you have a home going, you know, anywhere from Brigham City south into Payson and you live in a bench area, the straight English holly may do just fine. But the hybrid blue hollies, and the one we're featuring is called Blue Princess. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes the hybrids will have a blue prince and a blue princess, or a blue king and a blue queen, or blue something. And it denotes a male and female. And what will happen is that one male holly, which won't produce berries, will pollinate several females. And so you've got this harem of female hollies and one male holly, and all the female bushes will produce the berries. And they look very similar to what we find, you know, during Christmas for decorations.
So this may be why she has two of those bushes on the east side of her house. But I'm reading some of the information, and it says it's great to have part afternoon shade. That's best in the hot summer. And against a house, of course, it gets that.
Yes, and this information is coming out of Missouri, the Missouri Botanical Gardens, which has a lot more humidity and rainfall. But the blue hollies, growing up, the old Clearfield swimming pool that was near Clearfield High School had a whole hedgerow of hollies that were on the east side. And they looked fine. You know, they never scorched or anything, but they were situated well. And so these blue hollies, if you have homes for them where they're in afternoon shade and out of a lot of winter winds, they seem to do well.
Okay, used appropriately, this is a great plant.
It is.
But you have to keep it trimmed back if it's on by a porch. I will say that.
You do.
You want it where people aren't going to be brushing against it because they have those little sharp leaves.
They do. The English holly, which most likely what your mother had, can get 10 to 15 feet high and wide left unpruned.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those that if you're going to prune it, you want leather gloves, a good thick long sleeve shirt so that it doesn't scratch you up. And when I was a teenager, there was somebody that had hollies, and we'd each take a leaf, and it was a game to try to stab each other with them. You know, teenagers and boys do what they do.
Boys can always find weapons.
Yes, holly leaves.
Sticks used as guns.
And so, I mean, they can, but, you know, if you do brush up against them, especially the blue hollies, they look spiny, but they're not really that bad. They're a little scratchy.
So this is an English holly.
It is an English holly. The blue hollies look like they have a lot more bark than their bite, and the blue holly leaves aren't nearly as scratchy as straight English holly.
Okay, but you plant aficionados, if you want an interesting plant for your yard, somewhere where the pets aren't going to get into it or people, it's a beautiful plant.
It is. And this is one that almost every major garden center will have some, especially in the spring. It just sits in the background because a few people want it. But you can go in, and if you shop locally, you may need to, you know, look at a few different garden centers, but there are blue hollies that will get anywhere to 3 to 4 feet high and wide to 10 or 15 feet high and wide, depending on what you're looking for, but it is available.
And when do they get the berries?
That's in the summer into the fall and winter, and you need two compatible. And that's why you're wanting to find the matching, you know, blue prince and blue princess or blue king and blue queen, you know, and there's a number, and it could be that some of the hybrids are compatible if you had like a blue princess and a, you know, blue Duke of Wales or whatever, you know, that they would be cross compatible. But generally you want the matching names.
The only thing we haven't talked about is water. How much water does
average amount of water? They're not super drought hardy, but they also do not like a swamp. And so once established after 3 or so years, they'll want to be watered every week to 10 days to a depth of a foot to 18 inches.
All right. And you can find out more about the Blue Princess Holly on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Phone lines are open. You can call us now with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I was asking folks to let me know if there were things in the new year and topics for January they'd like us to cover. And the first text says, how about fruit tree grafting and bud grafting? And you said that you have someone that can come in January.
Michael Caron was in a couple of weeks ago, and his specialties include grapes, greenhouses, small engines, because he's been a mechanic. Plus, he has done a lot with grafting and budding. So I am going to defer. I know the basics and things, but Mike has done this a lot. And so we will have him back in to talk about
the first week or two of January, depending
as soon as he's
on
available.
His schedule.
Yes.
Awesome. Next person says it would be a good idea to remind people to water their bushes before the ground freezes, especially any new ones, because we haven't had much rain.
And not all areas of the Wasatch Front may be getting rain.
Because we're looking
snow
outside right now, and it was kind of a rain, slushy snow mix, so
yes,
we've had plenty here.
I just opened one of the window blinds, and
so
we
dark
do have some snow sticking to the ground. It
but
looks
if
like
you
it's
don't
maybe,
have any.
Yes. It wouldn't be a bad idea to hook a hose up to one of the hose bibs on your house, or get some five-gallon buckets and just water in new plants. Make sure that the conifers, so the pine, spruce, junipers, if they're especially dry, you may water them in.
Make sure you unhook that hose after, though, because if it freezes with the hose hooked up,
yes,
that is never a good thing.
It is not. And if you leave it out there with water in it and it is dry, voles and mice and other things can chew through the hose to get to the water.
Or the hose will crack.
Yes.
I'm speaking from total experience on this one. You know, after about 30 years with a home, you do all the things that you shouldn't do. You forget about the hose and you leave
it
out
there.
Oh,
you go out
there
and find your hose under the snow and the 17 leaks.
It's absolutely true. So the next person who's texted in says they would like recommendations for basic landscaping design class and instruction. They say they have several properties that need to be re-landscaped. And yeah, that is one that we did take on last year. But having done a huge landscaping project, I agree with this person. That's definitely a topic we'll want to cover in the new year.
Yes, and we probably should have another guest in, either from Central Utah Water Conservancy District or Jordan Valley or Weber Basin, but they each have representatives that will teach a program called Localscapes. And what they teach you to do is to install weather practical landscaping that will reduce your watering needs by up to 50%. But looking at the landscapes, you would never know that they're water-wise. They don't look like the desert. You don't
they're
have house
beautiful
schools. They are very
they
beautiful.
They are flowering.
Yes. And so, and Michelle, if you're out there and listening, if you could take note, maybe Savannah Peterson or Cynthia B., one of those we could have come in and talk, or at least on the phone, about that. And that would include the rebates that are offered if you're municipality where you live participates with the conservancy districts, you can qualify for up to $3 a square foot for removing sod and re-landscaping it into something water-wise. But you can even at times of the year get water-wise turf grass seed and all sorts of things.
I'm giving you assignments,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Writing down all his assignments for the new year.
Localscapes, if you go to Jordan Valley Conservation Garden Park, you can look at things there. Weber Basin Water, Central Utah Water Conservancy District both have websites, but all of the classes are absolutely free and you can get a certificate, but they will take you step by step from bare ground or from an old landscape to a finished landscape, and you pay nothing. And normally these classes could cost hundreds of dollars. Another suggestion I would make, if you're very serious about it, a couple of weeks ago, Michael Caron came in and we talked about the Master Gardener program. And if you really want to learn about soils and plants and relationships and how to not just make landscaping easier, but landscape maintenance easier, and how to make your plants thrive with minimal input, the Master Gardener classes that are taught in counties along the Wasatch Front, many in Utah, are another great resource.
Great classes. And you have a little bit of cred. You can say, hey, I'm a Master Gardener.
Yes.
Right? Okay. You can find out more about those Master Gardener classes on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We put up a lot of great information last week on that. Next person would like to know, do they need to water their dormant plants that they have in their garage?
They do. Water evaporates even at low temperatures. And if you have dormant plants that are sitting in soil, potting soil, you'll probably need to water them every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. This is an interesting question. This person says there's an area on their property where they'd love to plant a tree, but there is a sewer line. They say that one of their friends told them that he uses some sort of chemical that keeps the roots from getting into the sewer line. What would that be?
Well, the chemical.
Would that be? What is that?
The one I'm familiar with, the roots already have to have penetrated the sewer line for it to be effective. I can't remember the name, but I think it's an acid product that kills the roots right at the border. But it's not.
That would have to be put in the sewer line,
yeah,
right?
It would be. You flush it down the toilet or run it down your sink drain.
And you'd have to do that every so often.
And roots are in there, even with those products, you have to have your pipes cleaned. You know, so they'll go in with a drain snake and some specialized equipment, and they will ream your pipes out every 2 to 3 years. And so that's just something I would not recommend if you have to, you know, a smaller tree that's less likely to do that. But, you know, I had a spruce that was planted near sewer drain up in the Hiram area, and I had to have the pipes cleaned every 2 years because the roots kept penetrating, even if I used that preventative, and it did help, but it's not 100%, and your drain has to be broken by the roots before it's effective.
And believe me, replacing those is not cheap.
$10,000 to $20,000 average.
Is it worth the tree? You have to ask yourself.
Yeah, even if you have to have it replaced, they can go in and use a fiberglass insert inside the pipe that they will then, they use specialized equipment to get it in there, and then they epoxy it around the edge of the pipe as it pushes forward. But even that, although it is less expensive than total replacement, isn't cheap.
Nope. I'm out. I'm not sure. Do most people even know where their sewer lines are?
Well, they may. Most newer homes have those clean outs. And so you'll have one oftentimes at the street edge and then another one near your house where the sewer leaves the house going toward the street, and then one or two inside. And so if you can find those clean outs, oftentimes you can get equipment that will detect the pipes. And again, it's not cheap to do, but there are contractors that can follow that pipe and know exactly where it's at.
Okay. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us your questions and your ideas for topics for the new year at 57500.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse, especially just a couple days before Christmas. Phone lines are open. You can call us with your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Todd, our next listener would like to know, they say they planted a new laurel bush in full sun in September. Now they know they made a mistake and it prefers shade. Can they transplant this bush in the spring to a shady area?
There we go. They could actually transplant it now. I was reading this text and autocorrect got them. It says, I planted a new Lara bush.
But I got it right. So it's Laurel,
you
right?
Did. Ooh, and the president is missing his wife, apparently.
It's even funnier than I thought when I read it. You're right. Autocorrect. Okay, they can do that now.
They can. As long as this ground is not frozen, they can move it.
You know it's snowing outside, right?
Yes. And, you know, we've been warm enough, they may be able to.
Yesterday would have been a great day.
Yes. You know, off topic, and we'll get back to this, the last week I've been walking. My walk time is usually about 9 or 9:30 in the evening until about 10, 10:15. And it's been warm enough that I've been out in just a sweatshirt plus pants, of course, and shoes. But, you know, just a light jacket or sweatshirt. And for December, unheard of. Mm-hmm. So I've been grateful for the warmer weather. It's been easier
for
to get
walking,
my steps in.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with this time of season, it's sure hard to not eat too much. And mm-hmm. so that warmer weather's made it a little
it's
better.
Helping you out.
It has. But so laurel bushes, we're referring to English laurel or Autolycans laurel. They are native to Europe. Again, you know, it seems like the English brought a lot of things over here. And even though they're native to Europe, they get the term English. So walnuts, laurels, there's a few things like that, holly. But at any rate, they prefer afternoon shade. And so if they can get it out of the ground now, it can be moved or sometime as soon as the ground is not frozen anymore in March, they can move it.
Okay. The person with the sewer line is not giving up. They do want a tree. So they're going to ask you about specific trees that might work. The ones that they're looking at, a tannenbaum pine. Or a snowball bush?
Both of those would probably be okay. I can't guarantee that they wouldn't eventually...
You don't want them coming back and yelling at you if it impacts
correct.
The sewer line.
But they are much better than a cottonwood.
Right.
Or a big spruce. Because it's not just that the roots can magically just break into the line. But what will happen is they get under the sewer line. And as they grow, you know, they slowly expand... And they'll heave that sewer line and crack it. And that's where the breaks come from. And once the, we'll call them nutrients, start to leak from that sewer line and the water around the roots, roots grow into areas that have water and nutrients. And it just makes the problem worse. And so if they were to use a tannenbaum spruce or a snowball bush, which are both very limited in their size, they would be far less likely to do damage to a sewer line than,
would one
say,
of those be better than the other?
You know, both of them would probably be okay. Tannenbaum spruce is, or the tannenbaum is usually pretty slow growing, and it'd be years and years before it did any damage. And the snowball bush only gets up to about 10 feet. And so those roots, you know, once you're below a couple of feet, they're not going to be that big unless it was 50 or 75 years old.
Okay. Janet is on the line in Roy. Good morning, Janet. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, my friend planted a linden tree. I'm thinking about 5 years ago. She can't remember for sure either, but this year at the spring, something like a sprout started coming straight up from the top that got maybe 4 feet tall. There's leaves on the top of that. And so we were wondering what to do about that, if to trim it or to leave it.
So is the limb that grew up ruining the form of the tree?
It's just one straight thing. So yeah, it doesn't blend in with the form.
Well, if it's going to ruin the form of the tree, it does need to come out.
Okay. So it won't hurt it growing in the future if she just
No, and I would cut it out sometime after mid-January. We have been so warm that the trees are not completely cold hardy. Right. And so they need another month of cold weather before you really start doing much major pruning on them. And there's no rush. I mean, sometime in mid-January would be fine.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, you guys. Love your show. Thanks.
Janet, Merry Christmas. Thanks for your call this morning.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye. Next listener would like to know, Ton, how early in the spring can they plant grass?
As soon as the snow melts off, it doesn't mean it'll germinate, but they can get it down. And the other limitation, if the area is not prepped, and so if they're doing brand new, you can't really get out there with a rototiller usually until late March to mid-April.
But this year, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Because if you try to, even though if the snow melts off and the ground thaws, it's likely going to be really muddy. And if you have a silty or a clay soil especially, if you try to rototill that, it is going to destroy the soil structure and just make a muddy mess of your tiller. And so the way to know when you can start prepping that ground is when you take a shovel out there and you have some soil moisture, but when you put the shovel into the soil and turn the soil does not stick to the shovel to any great extent. That's when you know that the consistency and the water moisture content in the soil is low enough that you can work the soil.
All right, I'm not sure I understand the rest of their text where they're giving me. Does that make any sense to you?
No, no.
Okay, good. I just thought it was me.
TTTF and KBG.
Are those types of grass?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm thinking
I'm
that
not
it's
sure
some sort
what
of.
What the autocorrect did there,
know.
But I do not understand.
I
the
am
rest.
At the point that when I see posts on Reddit and Instagram. And there's these abbreviations. I'm officially old because I have to Google what it means.
Okay, I'm going to be right with you there. Phone lines are open. You can give us a call this morning at 801-575-8255. Check out your
autocorrect. Turf Type Tall Fest you and Kentucky Blue Jack.
They are. There you go.
Someone's playing figure out the puzzles with us.
Remember, it's early on a Saturday morning, folks. Okay.
And it's just.
Doesn't matter which kind of
grass. Yeah. So if you're going in on your grass and you're just top dressing, trying to thicken it up, you can put that seed down now and it doesn't matter. But if you're doing brand new areas, it has to be warm enough to work the soil.
See, you're not that old. You figured it out and you're not that sleepy.
Well, I've had some caffeine. It must be kicking in. But I always get afraid of these abbreviations because you never know if they'll be suitable for reading on the air or not. And then it finally
That's why
hit
I didn't
me.
Say them. I let you.
Yes. These are secret gang abbreviations. Only horticulture people know.
They've texted us. Yeah, we got it now. We're awake now. Thank you so much for listening this morning and your text and the number to text. Make sure you check your autocorrect. That kind of helps us out too. 57500. We'll be right back. Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls and your texts. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Jake is on the line in Plymouth. Good morning, Jake. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. I have a question on what your favorite recommended shade trees are that grow well in northern Utah. I'm looking for ones that grow relatively quickly, that aren't the cottonless cottonwoods, something that grows nice and large.
So
the bigger, the better.
Plymouth is up in the Box Elder County area, Tremonton-ish?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And so you're going to be a little warmer than Logan. So
yes.
Just trying to, it's been a while since I've driven through, but I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. So there is a saying or a rule in horticulture that the faster growing the tree, the shorter lifespan it has, just because those trees' growth strategy to avoid pests and diseases includes, well, I'm just going to outgrow them, and so they can prey on me or whatever, because I'm growing so fast, I can just keep going. But when the tree gets fully grown and slows down a little bit, sometimes those pests and diseases will catch up. And so we're trying to look for something that there's an in-between. And for me, a growth rate on a tree of 18 inches a year would be considered something that's relatively fast, but you're still going to have the tree around in 40 or 50 years if it's planted in a situation where it gets good irrigation and isn't somehow abused. So the tree, some trees you could look for, how big do you want them to get?
As big as they can get. I prefer the larger the better, just for general shade, lining a driveway and in the yard.
So. You know, one place I would look at up in the Cache Valley area, there are several good nurseries, but there is a tree called sycamore maple. Now, it is not a sycamore, but it's sycamore maple, and Zollinger Tree Farms over in Providence is one of the few nurseries I know of that consistently carry that trees. That one, there's some trees in Brigham City at some of the local parks that were planted a number of years ago that are beautiful trees. They've done well. And it's actually an underused tree for Utah. And so you could look at maybe sycamore maple. That they will grow 18 inches a year once established, but they're just a very underused and apparently adaptable tree to your area. So that's one that you could do. And then another, and it may be a bit slower, but still, I think it would be a good tree. Some of the oaks. So you could look at bur oak. And once these are rooted, they actually grow fairly fast. But bur oak, then English oak. Now, you don't want the columnar English oak if you're wanting shade trees, but just straight English oak. And then one other in that group, swamp white oak. All those three should do just fine. And the oaks are going to be a little slower than, say, the sycamore maple, but they'll also be around. There are oaks that are over 100 years old in the Providence area. They're American white oak, which is a little harder to find, but they are around for a long time. And then some others you can look at. If you have areas of your yard that the soil is a little more marginal, common hackberry is another one that actually will grow 18 inches to 2 feet a year, and it will establish well, somewhat drought hardy. It tolerates saltier soil. It's not going to win a beauty pageant, but it's also not an ugly tree. One of my friends always says if it were in a beauty pageant, it'd be Miss Congeniality.
Oh my.
But it's a decent tree. And then another group you can look at are the hybrid elms. There are a number of them that perform really well. A call over to J.D. Gunnell in our Cache Valley office after the new year. The number over there is 435-752-6263. And J.D. has been working with these hybrid elms, and there's a number of them that he likes that go dormant really early that seem to work really well in that Box Elder County, Cache Valley area. And so I'd speak to JD about some of those hybrid elms, because they can grow a couple of feet a year and they'll be around for a good long time too.
Okay, awesome. That is a lot of great information. Thank you.
Do you have a pencil though, Jake? Did you get that number? Do you want me to?
Yes. Okay. I got it down. Yes.
Perfect. Great. Thanks, Jake, for calling this morning. Have a Merry Christmas.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, they say they planted a new ginkgo tree in June, and it's about an inch and a half in diameter. Now, the top of the tree has been very flimsy, so they've supported it with posts next to the trunk all the way up, and they want to know when they should maybe take those supports off.
After about a year, because you don't want the tree to be too dependent on them. The ginkgo is a very slow-growing species, and it is one that it will take 30 years to get a 30-foot tree, but they're very spectacular trees. They were around when the dinosaurs were, and even though they look like a normal shade tree, they're actually more closely related to the pines and spruce than they are our modern deciduous trees. They turn a very brilliant yellow in the fall, and they have a very recognizable leaf. Once you've seen it, you know that it's ginkgo, but they're very slow growing. And so I know up at Weber State, they're near their math building, at least what used to be the math building. I'm sure they've torn it out.
Who knows now,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I was, when I was there 30 years ago, these buildings were built in the 50s, and they had ginkgo trees that were about 30 by 30 that were original to the landscaping. And so, but they're just very beautiful trees.
Okay, but they're slow growing, so at least a year for those supports.
Yes, and you may need to put them on longer, but it's just one of those things that they will gain some strength, but just do your best with it.
Okay, next person says they planted a couple of autumn blaze red maples back in the fall. They're about 2-inch diameter. Do they need to water those since there hasn't been much precipitation?
If the ground is moist, no. And so this rainstorm and snow should help alleviate that. But if they're in an area that didn't get any, it wouldn't hurt getting a 5-gallon bucket and you're just pouring 5 gallons of water around the base of the trees, maybe 10 gallons. And just because they're autumn blaze maple, they may have to treat those trees with iron or other micronutrients every year to 2 years. And so they're going to need to be very cautious on their irrigation so that they don't overwater the trees, because that will make the chlorosis, chances of chlorosis, worse.
Okay, this next listener, autocorrect, got them. Not sure exactly what they wanted to say here, but they have some bare spots in their hay field that didn't grow tonight, I'm sure is not the word they wanted there. Should they sow them now, or do they have to wait till spring?
It depends on what they're using for the forage crop. If it were grass seed, they could put that out now. They do run the risk, if we don't get snow, that the birds will come in and pick it. But if it's grass seed, yes, they can put it down now or in very early spring. If it's alfalfa seed, I would talk to their county's agricultural agent for the best timing.
Okay. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.